Getting ready for a Sunday Divine Liturgy during Great Lent has a lot of challenges. As I was walking in here and just thinking all the things we needed to do, getting the books out in the pews, getting your flyers out for you, having the icons up here, I felt like Martha. Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things. The reality is this, that we live in a world in which we, of course, have to do those aspects of life that are task-oriented. But I'm going to ask you all to take a deep breath, and let's focus on Mary, being a Mary in a Martha world. And, of course, that's not specifically referring to the Virgin Mary. It is referring to Mary, the sister of Martha. The gospel passage in the Gospel of Luke is this. Many of you are familiar with it. Of course, I kind of pointed out many times. But it is that Jesus was at the house of Lazarus, you know, the one who he raised from the dead, and his sisters, Mary and Martha. And what was Jesus doing? He was talking about the kingdom of God. He was talking about the things which are most important. He was talking about salvation. He was talking about what does it mean to be a godly person? What does it mean to be in union with God? How do we forgive people? How do we not judge others? And in the midst of that, Martha's sister Mary was sitting and listening to him, leaving Martha to take care of all the guests in their home. Martha was scurrying around evidently, making sure that they had good enough to eat and drink. Finally, she came up to Jesus and says, "Lord," I'm paraphrasing, "would you tell my sister to help me for God's sake?" And what was Jesus' response? "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things. Mary has chosen the good portion which shall not be taken away from her." Now, of course, Mary, the sister of Martha, chose Jesus to listen to the most important things. Of course, we can refer to the Panagia, the Virgin Mary, the Theotokos, who chose of her own free will to give of her life to our Lord and therefore becomes the example par excellence for us, you and I, individually, of our own free will to decide to give our life to Jesus Christ. With that in mind, we have the beauty of the celebration of the Sunday of Orthodoxy with the reinstitution of icons and the nice participation of our children who did such a beautiful job today holding up their icons as we went around the church, and the exclamation of our faith in the understanding that we do not worship icons, but these icons are there for us to communicate through the visual sense, the presence of God, that God is with us. God is with us. Give ear, O you nations, and be humbled, for God is with us. However, I would like to go before that beautiful celebration of the 8th century back to the gospel passage today. And the gospel passage today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, 43 to 51. And it is the calling of Jesus, by Jesus, of his first apostles. I'm going to read it. It is very short. "At that time, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, 'Follow me.' Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter," who were brothers and, of course, two of Jesus' disciples. "Philip then found Nathanael, and he said to him, 'We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.' Nathanael said to him, 'Can anything good come from Nazareth?' Philip said to him, 'Come and see.' Jesus then saw Nathanael coming to him and said to him, 'Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile.' Nathanael said to him, 'How do you know me?' And Jesus replied, 'Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you.' Nathanael answered him, 'Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel.' Jesus answered him, 'Because I said to you, I saw you Under the fig tree, do you believe? You shall see greater things than these. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now, just a little teaching. Nathanael and Philip, probably Andrew and Peter, most likely James and John, were disciples of John the Baptist. They were followers of John, and they were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. So when Nathanael was told by Philip to come and see Jesus of Nazareth, his response was, can anything good come out of Nazareth? He knew that it was not prophesied that the Messiah was going to come from Nazareth, and that's why he said that. It was prophesied that the Messiah will come from Jerusalem. Of course, we know Jesus was born in Jerusalem. From Bethlehem. We know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And so the Messiah was to come from Bethlehem. So thus, that is why Nathanael said it. But when Jesus said to him, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile, he didn't say this with any guile intent. And then his response, before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree, to which Nathanael immediately responded, Rabbi, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. You are the one we are waiting for. And this is what I want to draw everyone's attention to. Jesus responded, because I saw you under the fig tree, you believe, you will see greater things than these. Truly I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Nathanael was there at the ascension of Jesus. Nathanael saw Jesus risen from the dead. Nathanael saw him ascending into the heavens. And what you and I are brought to today is back to that apostolic time, to what is really the most important. And when Nathanael was asked by Philip to come and see, you and I are asked during this time of Great Lent to come and see, to come and know Jesus, to know him with our heart, to know him in the depth of our being, to know him at the center of who we are, psychologically, in the true sense of the word, with our psyche, with our soul. That is what the call is. So we are called like Nathanael is called, to come and see. And as Nathanael saw great things, let us contemplate the great things that we have seen in our life of God's love, of his mercy, of his compassion, of his divine presence, of his strength, of his promise that he is with us and that nothing can take him away from us. This is what this period of Great Lent is. And so in a Martha world, I and you are called to be Marys. Let us take this opportunity during this beautiful time of Great Lent, this beautiful divine liturgy of St. Basil the Great that we have on the Sundays, the services, and please do your very best to participate in at least a portion of these services during the Great Lenten journey, to afford yourself of the sacrament of confession. Why? Because we psychologically, in our psyche, in our soul, need to be healed. I, the first one amongst you. I'm not asking you to go to confession if I don't go. And you could ask Father Paul, I'll be in confession at least 2 or 3 times during Lent. Come and see the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Have a beautiful day, and remember, if God is for us, there's no one who can be against us.